Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, we're going to talk about downtown St. Cloud, what it was, what it is, and what it could be. And joining me today is Brian Schoenborn, a former St. Cloud State University class president who now works at the Stinson Leonard Street Law Office and is deeply involved with various renovations and planning for the future of this often underused resource of what we call downtown St. Cloud. Brian will also be discussing much of this at the Stearns History Museum's Breakfast Club, taking place tomorrow, Wednesday, August 12th, beginning at 9 a.m. So, Brian, thanks for joining me on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Right on. So you've got this a presentation you're going to be giving at the Stearns History Museum for their Breakfast Club on Wednesday the 12th.
That's right.
And it has to do with Fifth Avenue in downtown. Why don't you give us a brief little explanation, and then we'll kind of explore some of the different stories.
I appreciate the opportunity to sit with you and talk about Fifth Avenue. It's something that I've been passionate about for a long time. I'm a big history guy. My family's been in this area since 1854. You got to be four where you're from. I'm from St. Cloud. I love St. Cloud, and giving back to St. Cloud's important. And really focusing on that, on the core area of our community downtown, is something that has a special place in my heart. And so about 9 years ago, the Coburn family and myself started what's called Fifth Avenue Live, which is the connection between the campus, St. Cloud State, and the community downtown. And it really started through a difficult situation, which was the collapse of the I-35 bridge in downtown Minneapolis. The bridge with the same design in Minnesota was the bridge that crossed the Mississippi on Division in St. Cloud. And so the state of Minnesota ordered that bridge replaced. And with that, we sat with the state of Minnesota and were able to move the lights on Division from 4th to 5th and from 6th to 7th, and really reopen 5th Avenue. And 5th Avenue is the original Main Street in St. Cloud. And so by opening up 5th Avenue, we could create a front door for St. Cloud State, a front door for downtown, and really dive into the history of our community from that main thoroughfare, 5th Avenue. And so it started from there and really extends. We kind of look at 5th Avenue Live as moving from the, what's now the Bank of St. Cloud on the north, and also the River's Edge Convention Center, all the way down to the Herb Brooks National Hockey and Event Center here, Herb Brooks National Hockey Center now at St. Cloud State.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when I moved here, like, you know, 12, 13 years ago, I kind of found it odd how the streets were all kind of broken up a little bit, if you will. There wasn't a main way of north-south.
Right. When the state of Minnesota in the 1960s turned Division Street into a state highway, and they put in the medians, and it really cut off access and a lot of the natural, logical, original access points to our community. And you think about St. Cloud State, the kind of economic engine that you have here on campus, and it's in a neighborhood with its back against the river, detached from everything in the community, even though it's only two blocks from downtown. The same thing with the St. Cloud Hospital in the north. And so to connect those economic engines and really try to pull them into downtown, St. Cloud State is an urban university. Mm-hmm. It's not in a rural setting. It's not in some farm field someplace. It is
literally a stone throw from downtown.
Exactly. Yeah. And so to think like that and make it an urban university and pull it into downtown, very important. And while it's difficult to do, it's taken us 9 years to get to this point, it really isn't that difficult because geographically it's a stone's throw from downtown. It's a couple blocks and we're there. So we did do this during the Great Recession. It wasn't easy and it hasn't been easy, but we've made great progress and the future's bright.
Yeah, there's an evolving nature of just about any downtown. I could certainly see that just looking at old photos of St. Cloud and how it's changed, and it's going to continue to do so. So yeah, you kind of look at it and you're like, well, what's going on? What is downtown?
Right. And you know, any of us to sit back and say, only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile. Doing something for other people, doing something for our community that makes us better is what we're all here for. And so it was sort of a logical thing to find out, how can we move the university into downtown? How can we bring back Fifth Avenue? For the listeners, if they go to fifthavlive.com, fifth with a five, fifthavlive.com, there is some before and after pictures. So on kind of a timeline on the development thus far and where we're headed. And it's kind of interesting to see some of those photos from 9 years ago where the 100 block, for instance, where Brothers is, was completely vacant. The entire block had not a soul on it. And you see the vibrancy and the activity now, and it's hard to even remember how it was and how bad it was and how exciting it is today and the future. And so the listeners should certainly make their way out and check out those photos.
Well, that's also one of those neat things that I like about St. Cloud, especially downtown St. Cloud. You've got some of these really old buildings that, you know, people have gone in and they've done stuff to the insides, but the outside is still those old buildings.
Right.
Well, some of the insides are old buildings,
yeah,
too. I go to the Pioneer Place a lot and listen to Mark Barth complain about plumbing, but, you know.
Exactly. But then they're a treasure. There are so many great people that have been downtown forever, and some that have migrated downtown and gotten the bug, the historical preservation bug, and kind of a page of history is worth a volume of logic, as they say. You know, understanding your history gives you a better understanding of where you are and where you're going. And so people that have really tried to make a difference downtown are numerous, and for a long time, though, they kind of worked in little silos where they were just doing their own thing in their own way, and that's great, but to try to work together. And the downtown council has been important. The Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation has been very important. St. Cloud State. I think what we're doing and what other people like us are doing, trying to connect a larger geographic area to move in one direction, which is to make our downtown more vibrant, connect with the history. Don't forget the history. Don't just blow everything up, but try to find a way to take what we have that's special, unique, and historic and repurpose it and give it another 100 years of life, 200 years of life. Versus thinking about, you know, in America, we have a tendency just to get the wrecking ball, blow stuff up after 20 years and start over. Let's not do that, because when you throw your history away, you throw those stories away. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of great things to get us where we are today. Let's not lose that history. Let's not lose track of that. Let's remember and then move us forward.
Yeah, there's something really neat about seeing some of these really old photos where, you know, you got somebody standing in front of, you know, like the bank, for example.
Right.
And then, you know, 20 years later, there's another photo of somebody standing in front of the bank.
Right.
And then another 20 years.
Right.
And, you know, it does. It connects us with the past and also the future. It's kind of a neat thing.
And that's one of the neat things about buildings and architecture. It's all about the stories. It's about the people and the people that made something there, did something there, the good, the bad, the hard, the joy. There are so many stories. And, you know, you mentioned the bank. The Bank of St. Cloud building is the most historic commercial building in our community. It was the first building on the National Historic Register. And right now it's undergoing a full restoration, renovation, repurposing. Oversawn by the National Park Service and the State Historic Preservation Office. It's really a big deal, and people are starting to gravitate toward it. It's something we're going to talk about next week at the Breakfast Club. But, you know, that was the original bank in central Minnesota. And the James Bell and Joseph Smith, who started the bank, Joseph Smith petitioned the state of Minnesota to start St. Cloud State. Mm-hmm. So the reason St. Cloud State is Joseph Smith went and asked the state of Minnesota to start the fourth state normal school here on the banks of the Mississippi. And today we have St. Cloud State, and people just don't think about that. And so the Bank of St. Cloud really drove a big chunk of the history of our community and why we're here today. A lot of people come to St. Cloud to learn about the Pan Motor Company. I don't know if you know about the Pan Motor Company, but there was an auto manufacturing company here in the early part of the 20th century, in 1900s.
Yeah, yeah.
And their headquarters were in the Bank of St. Cloud building. And so it's amazing as you look back, all of the connections and so much of St. Cloud that we just take for granted today started right from that site. And so to take that to a new level, it's about a $3 million renovation of that complex to prepare it for its future. Certainly it's kind of got all the new amenities in it, but also respect and honor the past. The Stearns History Center actually, for a long period of time, had their headquarters in that building too. And so they're getting behind this effort and going to be helping to tell stories in the common areas and spaces in that building to use it as almost a living museum that has activity and businesses in it, but also connects us with our past.
Nice. Yeah. I, one of the first stories I did for KVSE, or early stories, was on Panofalo, because I just went to the Stearns History Museum and started looking around at stuff and
right.
thinking about, well, what can I do a story on? And I run into this, and I'm like, we had a car yes. manufacturer here?
Yeah.
And you get into that whole story, that's an amazing story.
Absolutely.
You know, the guy, you know, he builds this thing, he built a community, and then, you know, tried to raise money for it, then there was this disastrous dust storm, and then, you know, kind of chased out of town on a rail, and then
welcome back with trumpets later on after he got out of prison. And
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah. It is an amazing story. And then we still have, you know, a lasting the architecture, the buildings,
right. Pantown, the Pan Motor Company, the Electrolux facility at the corner of Highway 15 and Veterans Drive. That's the Pan Motor Company, and that whole community around there is Pantown. And you're right, Sam Pandolfo actually built a community, which a lot of cities that had big businesses did that. He really changed our community forever. And people then, you know, take it for granted, these old prairie style homes that are over there, and wonder how the heck that happened. It was because of Sam Pandolfo.
Yeah, built the community right there.
Absolutely.
So what other kind of plans for Fifth Ave are there?
So it's a growing, living thing. It changes all the time. We started with the 5-block core area off of Division Street. So there are 4 blocks to the south, what we call the West 200 block, West 300 block, East 200 block, and East 300 block. The West 200 block is where Chipotle and Noodles are. And then the West 300 block is where Coburn Plaza is. And so we really started down there. We had to kind of work in reverse because we had tenants on Division Street. And we had the Coburn family contributed the old Fifth Avenue grocery store site, which is where Coburn Plaza is. And so we built the Holiday Station store down there, and then Coburn Plaza was built, and then continued to work north and then ultimately finish the west side of the street. So we've worked for many years to try to complete the west side before turning our attention to the east side. Although in the next couple of weeks, we'll be learning in the community about a development that'll be on the east side of the street, connecting that side from Division Street to campus, and trying to complete that 4-block entrance to St. Cloud State, connecting the university and downtown. And then there's the 100 block on the north side of Division Street, which is where now Quark's is, very exciting, mm-hmm. healthy, fast casual restaurant. Brothers is there, the Endurance Shop. On the north side of that block is what's called the Davidson Opera House, the first theater in our community, and that is undergoing a full renovation and restoration, and is truly remarkable in its own right. The Bank of St. Cloud building has been an office building. The Davidson Opera House was a theater that in the 70s and early 80s was turned into an office building, but still feels like a theater. And so we're bringing back the theater feel, taking it down to the bones and rebuilding it. And really honoring the past, but allowing new economy type tech businesses and things to go there and call it home. And that'll be opening this fall as well. And that'll really complete the 100 block, where that block will be done, quote unquote, after 9 years. And then we're going to continue with the Bank of St. Cloud building and hopefully inspire ourselves and others to grab hold of a piece of history, become a historic preservationist, sort of, and help us move our downtown forward.
Neat. Yeah. I've been inside the Opera House a couple of times. I remember, I think it was Brain Magnet that was in
there
for a
long right.
time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to come back, Jeff. You won't believe it. We're going to have an open house once it's completed, and you have to make sure you stop. If you were there when Brain Magnet was there, you will be hard-pressed to recognize the place.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today, we're sitting down with Brian Schoenborn. We're discussing downtown St. Cloud and how it has evolved over the years and how it will continue to do so. Brian will be speaking at the Stearns History Museum on Wednesday, August 12th for their breakfast club at 9 a.m. And as we get back into it, we're going to talk about how even the slightest positive change in the dynamics of downtown creates other positive changes.
There's a momentum. It's a snowball type effect. As the snowball goes downhill, it gets larger and picks up speed. And and high tide raises all boats, to mix metaphors. And we've done a lot of research into vibrant downtowns, and the Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation has as well. One of the pillars of the GSTC is downtown. And what we've learned is, to have a great downtown, it's not just about things to do and restaurants and government or offices. It's about people living. And one of our issues downtown that we're still working on is getting people to live downtown. And now with this proposed development kind of by the Mexican Village, that's a great step forward. Rod Lindquist, who's a great community asset, has been driving that project and doing more development like that. So that, you think about, there are 30,000 college students in St. Cloud. They come from all over the world. They graduate and they go, okay, now what?
Yeah.
And a lot of them depart because it doesn't feel like a place for a young professional. So then we need them to come back because we have a lot of great growing businesses here. So then we have to go to the Twin Cities or go to Chicago or go wherever and try to recruit people back. And it's not easy because there's a lot of options and maybe they've grown roots there. Why not keep our great people? And so there's that issue of the transition between graduating from St. Cloud State or St. John's or St. Ben's or the Tech College or wherever, and staying here. Well, if you can move downtown and get a job at Capital One or eBureau or Geocom or any of the great businesses downtown, and then, hey, okay, you meet someone, you buy a house, you move to the South Side or Sartell or wherever you move, but you stay here long-term and you make a difference here. Losing those people right after college is a serious issue for our community, and we're addressing it through getting serious about housing downtown. And the more people, the more businesses, the more businesses, the more people. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing, but together we're making our community great. And, you know, it's hard to come to a city that doesn't have a great downtown and say, this is a great city. You know, people see downtowns as kind of a litmus test for the overall community. It's hard to pull the wool over people's eyes. You just don't. And so you got to have that great downtown. People go, wow, I went, Pioneer Place is amazing, and the Paramount and this and that, and this must be a great town. Then you can learn more about the town and go, it is great, and maybe move here or stay here and make a difference here.
Well, yeah, you just look at the area around the library, the new library.
Right.
You know, and you know what has happened there. I mean, you've got these businesses which are popping up along Saint Germain, and you know, there's always people at the library and people around the library. There's various musicians that I know that have their offices. You know, their music, music lessons or fixing instruments, selling instruments, stuff like that. All that stuff is right along there, and you know, so it's you've got these things, and yeah, but there can be more.
Well, and it's funny how the world comes full circle a lot, and that's why history again is so important, because if you don't understand your history, you just repeat it over and over and over. St. Cloud, if you look at the history books, Fifth Avenue, as I mentioned, was the original downtown. It connected Lower Town, which is the St. Cloud State area, Middletown, which is sort of downtown, and Upper Town, which is where the St. Cloud Hospital is. The issue was the Upper Town and Lower Town were just too close to Middletown. And so you couldn't have enough economic activity. There couldn't be a big enough downtown area. And so St. Germain started and just kept pushing west. Mm-hmm. And so the history books talk about St. Cloud having this L-shaped downtown, which is why the Bank of St. Cloud is at the corner of Main and Main. It's at the corner of Fifth Avenue and St. Germain. And they had to wait about 20 years to ultimately build the building that they have there. And then they could only build half of it. They built the second half about 30 years later because they had to be at the corner of Main and Main. And then people just continued to come to town and add on to St. Germain. St. Germain, as you know, when you get down to Wendy's, it ultimately kind of merges into Division Street. Mm-hmm. And it's still going that way, where we just keep going west. Now, we can't lose sight of the importance of the east side of St. Cloud, but St. Cloud continues to move west on Division, connecting the west side of St. Cloud and then Wade Park and St. Joe now.
Yeah, now it's starting to stretch. Yeah, the gap between Wade Park and St. Joe is getting smaller. So
exactly.
I guess maybe it's just easier not to cross the river sometimes.
Right, I know. But there are some plans and I know the city of St. Cloud is doing their strategic plan for downtown and for the community as a whole. And there's a lot of opportunity on the east side as well. But for whatever reason, you know, our community really grew on the west side of the river and then continues to move west.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just kind of the nature of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but the downtown thing, when I moved to town, I had no idea. The downtown was vibrant. It's just, you know, I absolutely fell in love with the Java Joint when I first ran into it. Ended up working there for a while, ran a poetry reading there for a while, met a whole lot of people. And then those people graduated from college and left.
Exactly. Exactly. That's our problem.
Yep. Yeah. When you were talking about that, I'm like, oh yeah, I am very familiar with this. I know a lot of people in the cities that I became friends with when they were in college, and then, you know, they graduate and then they move on. And it's like, well,
the gravitational pull to the Twin Cities is hard to deal with. We are too close to the Twin Cities sometimes, but also far enough a way to be our own place.
Mm-hmm.
We need to grow that gravitational pull here and keep those people here. And it's a all of the above approach, because it takes great jobs, great opportunities, great places to live, you know, things to do, all of that.
Entertainment, different music. Right. I mean, you look at these things that are developed. You look at Summertime by George.
Unbelievable.
They're like over, I don't know what the numbers are for this season just yet, but, you know, easily 6,000-7,000 people per show.
Right.
Probably more.
Right. Well, yeah, and the last show, and last year, I think they had 17,000 people for the Armadillos. It's incredible. It's such a community asset.
Uh-huh. And then that's all part of downtown. Mm-hmm. When you get that idea of what is downtown, it's more than just a couple of blocks. But, you know, you got to focus on, you know, what is that core, the main, you know, thoroughfares, the main places where things are. But then there's, you know, just it's, you know, coming to town, you know, coming into town, you say that, and it's just, it's there.
Well, and I think it also makes a difference to St. Cloud State. I mean, we're here on campus. This is an incredible institution, a treasure for our community and for the state, for the region, for the country, really. We're educating, you know, a wide variety of people, and it shouldn't be so hidden. It shouldn't be so tucked away. And President Potter's been a tremendous leader on that, to say, let's turn the campus inside out. Let's allow the community to engage with the campus, versus the campus is in its own, on its own little island here on the south side, and is disconnected from the community. And so putting the, you know, Coburn Plaza is a big step. The Welcome Center is a huge step. Having that university pylon, the video boards there by Chipotle, being able to take the university calendar out to Division, so that people in downtown or driving through downtown could say, oh my gosh, you know, there's the trivia contest is going on, or there's this game at the hockey center or the basketball. That's important, and it allows us to build friendships, build relationships, and move our community forward, where the university has so much going on and there's so many opportunities to engage with it and connect with it. We need to do a better job of that. And so getting the university pulled into downtown is important, and has been, I think, making things better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely an interesting, slow process. I remember my days at the Java Joint when I was running a poetry reading, trying to get students from St. Cloud State to come just cross Division Street.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
And
vice versa.
Hard.
You know, there's a play or something in the theater, little theater, or the Performing Arts Center. And why, there's an amazing, talented human that's playing there, and why won't the community come on campus? Well, where do I park? What do I do? It's a little scary. It's big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, breaking through those barriers to just get our community and our campus kind of shaking hands, where they're just shoulder to shoulder in moving our region forward.
Well, it's definitely getting there. I remember I was in Hamlet last year, and those performances, it was pretty full.
That's great.
And, you know, those were... It wasn't just the friends and family of the people in the show. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, others came, and it was a community event.
Yeah, so. And we have made a lot of progress, and it's taken a lot of people. I think President Potter has been an amazing leader and focusing on that. And it's not easy. Progress takes time. It's slow. And again, we did a lot of this during the worst economic period since the Great Depression. So most people wouldn't have bit that off at that point, but
you
got
to put your money someplace.
Yeah,
it's like we have to do something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You're right. Exactly. You know, the a lot of people ask about and are happy with Chipotle and Noodles being on the West 200 block, and that's the original 1044. And most people, just to kind of go back to the history piece again, 1044 was the first Ford dealership in America, or is actually the oldest. It was, I think, technically the second. They signed the second dealership agreement with Henry Ford, but I believe the first one is no longer in existence. So they are the world's oldest Ford dealership, and until 1978, they were there where Chipotle is. So that was in the old 1040 garage. And prior to moving there, they were in where DB Cereals is, because you just bought cars out of a catalog. There was no showroom because everything was black and looked exactly the same. It's the old Ford, Henry Ford line. You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Yep.
And so there were no options. So you just ordered a vehicle and it took like 6 months or sometimes a year before you got your vehicle. It was just delivered. And once they had options, they needed a showroom. And so they ended up moving to where Chipotle and Noodles are. And that for probably 75, 80 years was the home of 1040 Ford. And then ultimately they moved out and it became the home of various other businesses. And now through the renovation, we completed Chipotle Noodles. And ultimately there'll be another business located there. But it's kind of neat to see.
It is neat because that chunk of building right there, you've got quite a few businesses.
That Quonset Hut, yeah. And you go, well, that's kind of an odd-shaped building. And so we're going to do a better job of telling the story. In fact, I've talked to Mike 1040, the owner of 1040, that's still in the family, about putting an old Model T out front, you know, doing, and that enables us
on
to
the
tell
roof
the,
or something.
Yeah, that just connects us with the past, that there's that big patio there, that outside patio, and there's plenty of room to put a vehicle there. In fact, there's a whole kind of a franchise of Ford restaurants that have a Ford vehicle in them. And it'd be not that we're doing that, but to have something there that shows sort of the heritage and history of the building, but
cool.
that you can kind of eat with this old Model T, it'd be kind of a fun thing. So we're trying to continue to do that little by little, adding things and making things better and raising the tide for our community and certainly downtown.
Nice. So outside of just the Stearns History Museum, the Breakfast Club coming up Wednesday morning, if somebody wanted more information about, the plan, what you guys are doing, how would they check in on that?
I think going to fifthavelive.com is a perfect spot, and they can contact us there. And there's, if they ever want to look at leasing space, or they want to open something, or they want to just learn and understand what we've been up to, maybe get some advice or help, you can certainly get it through that and through contacting myself or any of us involved. The Bozer Construction's been very involved in a lot of the construction down there, and they're another great resource. They've done a lot of great things downtown. They can always call me at my office and contact me via the web. I'm happy to do anything I can to help people that, and even just people that are interested, not just people that want to actually complete a project or they want to buy or renovate a building that they have, but just want to know about what we're up to and
where's it going?
And we know to a certain extent where we're going, but you know what? It kind of changes every day.
Yeah.
You kind of get inspiration through things and all of a sudden dots connect and people show up and
something you had no idea was going to happen.
Strike you. Wow. You know what? I didn't know that. That's kind of neat. Let's do that. Yeah. Or, you get a phone call from someone who says, gee, did you know that my parents, X, Y, and Z, the Benson Brothers grocery store was the first grocery store in our community. And they ultimately moved in the 1890s to where the Endurance Shop is. The family lived upstairs. They had their store downstairs. And then as the store grew, they built where Brothers is. Then the following year, they built where Quark's is. So that used to be one big grocery store. And at the end where Quark's is, they actually had some hardware type activity there. But we've had the Hunstinger family ultimately bought the grocery from the Benson brothers, and the Hunstingers along the way, who are still in town, contacted me and said, hey, I have all these old photos and you should see, this stuff, and kind of told some of the history that my sister was born upstairs, and all that stuff is just so neat. And the more you know about that history, the more you can kind of prepare to move a project forward and respect that history, that past. If you don't understand, so we do a lot of research before starting a project so that we can really stay in touch with that historical, those stories, those people, and not just lose that. We want to be able to tell the entire story from when the building was first built to today. And, the Davidson Opera House is another one. It burned down in 1913 and was completely rebuilt. And when you go through it, when we get it open this fall, the brick on the inside is full of black soot. I mean, the scarring from the fire is still there. And, you know, someone might go, well, gee, why didn't you clean that? Well, that's part of the story of the building. And we have the photos of it. It burned down in, I think, January. And it looks like one big icicle. Because in putting out the fire, all the water froze.
Yep.
And so to be able to tell that story and show the hardship and the and what it took to actually build it, rebuild it, and they took a story off it when they did that. And, you know, it's important to be able to show where you've been, where you are, and where you're going.
Excellent. Well, thanks for stopping in and talking with me
today,
Brian.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
And once again, you've been listening to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And we've been talking with Brian Schoenborn about the history and the future of downtown St. Cloud. Brian will be at the Stearns History Museum for their August Breakfast Club on Wednesday, August 12th, beginning at 9 a.m. For more information on this and other programs at the Stearns History Museum, you can find links on our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab, as well as under this story in the kvsc.org podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota link. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.